following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hey, Golic, we're on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was enjoying one of these new Marie Callender's sausage, egg, and cheese breakfast sandwiches.
Where'd you get that?
And this cheddar biscuit.
So there was just one?
So warm and flaky.
You ate mine, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Luckily, Marie is giving away 1 million sandwiches for free. Just look for a coupon and select Marie Callender's dinners.
No purchase necessary. Offer ends January 7th, 2014. See official rules to win at MarieCallendersMeals.com/1 million. Sponsored by Conagra Foods.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. For a limited time, get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit qualification, Wells Fargo.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Man, this is like we had the Brandon Crick Show, and today it's the Maher Experience. I can't wait for this show to get underway. Damon Day co-hosted on this Tuesday, sporting the UNK baseball gear. How's it going, man? Is that going to be worth something one of these days?
I have like 50 of them. So I don't think it's a collector's item, unfortunately.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk with Brett Maher here in just a moment. He's been keeping busy working with the Dallas Cowboys, trying to find a roster spot. And it's that difficult time, Damon, because it's cut down day, and the Cowboys really didn't do much yesterday. They've got to get rid of 12 players between now and 3 o'clock. And we will speak with Brett and see how things are going there. Then we're going to talk to his dad, who evidently does something with the Kearney school system. So we're going to talk with him, but he wants to talk Royals baseball. Now they're hot, baby. They're hot. They just rolled Tampa yesterday. Just killed them. They're still above 500. How many times can the Royals go on a 7-game losing streak and stay above 500?
I told you it was when we were talking earlier about the A-Rod PEDs. There's so many good things going on. I mean, they go 17-3 and they roll off 7 losses and then they beat the Rays yesterday. I mean, it just shows to show you in baseball how close they are. And I think the big thing about the Royals was the off-season acquisition of James Shields. Guthrie's pitched well. I mean, they built up their pitching staff, and it just goes to show. And you look at like now the Mets dealing with losing Harvey is right now in the major leagues. If you pitch, you're winning. I mean, that's why the Pirates are, a half game back from the Cardinals. I mean, if you look at all the pennant races, it's all coming down to the teams that have the ability to pitch. And even if you look at San Francisco, who's in the basement of the NL West, they've pitched it, but, man, they can't score a run to save their life. So, I mean, I think it's very interesting to see all those moves starting to take shape for the Royals, and you're starting to see them. Maybe they're starting to – this is something that might build into something because it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, the MLB is not built on parity like the NFL. or even the NBA type of thing. It really is kind of a more shot in the dark on who's going to be the big prospect or whatnot. But it's really good to see the Royals kind of make some changes in those changes and bringing in a Guthrie and bringing in a Shields type of guys and an Eater type of guys. It's really good to see those guys do what they were supposed to do. And I think that's really helped them overall as an entire team.
It's also on this Tuesday, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. We're going to talk all sports. We got a little hockey to talk about today as they get the
101.
I know,
today.
So let's cool you down.
Cool you down.
We're
going to
cool you down.
Some ice.
And boy, the high school kids are loving football practice right now. And have you ever seen a six-man game?
I've officiated a six-man game.
See, there you go. Did you? Were you in shape?
What I made sure on the way to the game was I made sure I knew the rules, the difference between eight-man and six-man.
There's just a couple. Have you ever seen a six-man game?
I've never seen a six-man game, but I once called an eight-man game and didn't realize till halftime that it was 8-on-8.
Boy.
I'm one of those with it guys.
You're glad your team puts together a good GPA.
Well, yes.
Silver Lake is the number one team in the preseason rankings in six-man, and we're going to talk with their head coach, Dwayne Arn, a little bit later on. But Dr. Maher is in studio with us, who has a vested interest. He is a sports fan, and we were at Husker camp yesterday. With the first practices, with the full team, fall camp is over. Getting ready for that. How are you feeling? Are you still going to make every Husker game?
I don't think I'll make everyone. We'll make several of them. My wife and I have talked about that. It's a little different for us this year. You know, as a parent, you not only grew up a Husker fan, went to games with your kids throughout the years, but then to have Brett participate for the last 4 years really increased the emotional investment. And I don't feel that emotional investment this year. Although we still know several of the players and really a good chunk of the parents yet. So we're still certainly rooting for them. My stomach just won't be in knots on Saturdays like it has been.
Let me ask you, because this kind of occurred to me. We spoke with Brett last night because obviously he's going to be going through workouts today and hopefully tomorrow, and I know it's an anxious time for you. But you see, and in my mind, and I guess I might get the dad's perspective here, but you see Alex Henry do what he did, and he found the right spot. He found the right spot with Philadelphia. And I guess in my mind, you see what Brett did, and it's almost exactly the same. Yet he's still trying to find the right spot. Is there any frustration, or is it just roll with the punches, and how has he been dealing with it?
Well, I think there's both of those things, frustration, but that doesn't get you anywhere, so you got to roll with the punches. You know, luckily for Brett and for me too, we've known Chris Brown for years and years, and he's been a real good mentor to Brett and has given me some sage advice. And he talked to Brett last spring before the draft, and he said, you know, one of the things, Brett, for you is you got to remember it's about being in the right place at the right time. You know, Brett didn't get drafted and then went to the New York Jets, and Brett had a kickoff with Derek Dimke, a former Illinois kicker, to decide who's going to stay with the Jets in minicamp and who isn't. And Brett won that, and at least by Brett's account, won it pretty hands down. And so Derek Dimke was out of a job. Derek Dimke goes to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay loses Connor Barth to an Achilles injury, I think, and they just lost Lawrence Tynes. They picked up Lawrence Tynes after Barth went down. Just lost Lawrence Tynes. Derek Dimke's 5-for-5 in field goals in the preseason. He's in the right place at the right time, and that's got to happen for Brett. And I don't know that Dallas is it, but we can talk about that later if you'd like.
No, Dallas should be it. Like I tell him, we need a cowboy. We need a Nebraska cowboy. Here's our chat with Brett Maher. Doug and Daddy's show getting close to the start of the NFL season, and many Kearney and Nebraska fans want to know if Brett Maher will be working with the Dallas Cowboys when all is said and done, and he joins us here this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Brett, good morning, as always. Thanks for the time. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, it's always great to catch up with you, and I guess for the folks out there, I'm trying to remember, I think the last time that I talked to you face-to-face was at the Senior Open, and at that time, still with the Jets, so we haven't talked about what has transpired in between, what happened with the Jets, what they tell you, and then when you turn around and hooked up here with the Cowboys.
Right. That was kind of a pretty interesting situation, really. I didn't really have any idea what was going on up in New York. I went back to report for camp and was there for for 2 days, and they let me go and brought in a veteran guy, and haven't heard from them since. And then just a couple weeks later, got a call from the Cowboys, said they wanted to bring me in. And, you know, I've had a great time since I've been down here. Very great organization, great special teams coach, assistant special team coach. Got a great relationship with them, and just, you know, had a great time down here competing, learning, and just being around people that have had a ton of success around this league.
Now that you're no longer with the Jets, was it bizarre up there as it continues to look like on national television and radio reports, or was it a little more calm beneath the surface?
I don't know. I didn't really experience any of that, but that stuff kind of usually gets rolling a little more into training camp and through preseason, stuff like that. So I didn't get to see like the most of it, but there's I don't know. There's always someone watching up there, that's for sure. So you gotta be careful with what you say and what you do and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I don't know how to answer it better than that, but it was a different culture, that's for sure.
We're talking with Brett Maher here on the Doug and Daddy Show with the Dallas Cowboys. Tell the folks what the process was like when you were between teams. Was Dallas the first one that came calling? Did you have some other interest? Fans may not know what that process is like.
Yeah, so I was just back in Kearney working out, staying in shape, ready for the next people that were going to call and want me to come down, and join their training camp. And you know, luckily, I didn't have to wait that long. We've been in contact with a few other teams, just kind of waiting to see what shook out at that point. And Dallas said they were ready to bring me in right now. And, so went ahead and jumped on that and have been getting some really quality practice reps, kicking and punting actually a little bit, which has, been good to show my versatility and, you know, show that I'm still sharp and ready to go at this level.
Talking with Brett Maher here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You just never know, as you said, with that Jets situation and in pro football, sometimes you get blindsided, so you never know what's going on. But as far as listening to what's coming out of Dallas, it's like they might want to keep a couple of guys on board. Dan Bailey has kind of solidified that place-kicking spot. At least it was in shambles just a couple of years ago. What are you hearing? Are you hoping they keep two? And if they do keep you aboard, what would your role be?
I don't know. Obviously, I'm hoping to have a job here this fall. So if they keep me aboard, that'd be awesome. If this is another stepping stone for me, then I'm ready for that situation as well. I feel like I'm ready to contribute in this league, being a place kicker and a kickoff guy. If I can fit in here somewhere doing that, that'd be great. Or if I can, get to land somewhere else as well, I'd be obviously more than willing for that. But, just doing what I can do right now, controlling what I can control, and, having good relationships, trying to learn from the people that have had such good success here, and just kind of, see where that takes me.
And I guess this is always a scary time because a lot of NFL teams are starting to cut players today. Are you confident that you've survived this round?
They have to, I think, tomorrow afternoon is the final deadline. I don't know. My gut, I guess, tells me that I'll be there for that, for this last preseason game, and hopefully get some more film out there and make some more good impressions on the coaches. And if not, we'll get back and stay in shape and hopefully get some workouts and still end up landing somewhere yet this fall.
Yeah, deadline 3 o'clock this afternoon, and the Cowboys have to make, at least at last check, according to the website, 12 more cuts. They made one earlier today to a defensive tackle. For the fans that have got to watch, you have been able to trot on the field a couple of times, but I think one misconception I've already heard a little bit, Brett, is people go, oh, Bill Callahan, he must have said, hey, they got a good kicker up at Nebraska. You never really had any relationship and never played with Bill. Did he have any part in recruiting you when you were before your senior year or not?
Yeah, he did a little bit. I was kind of on their radar a little bit. It would have been my high school junior year. And then, a little bit through my senior year as well. And then that whole thing kind of got flipped upside down. I never met him personally. I received some letters from him and stuff like that. But I never had a personal relationship with him throughout the recruiting process before things kind of got switched out there.
One of the guys that you did have a long relationship with as teammates was Rex Burkhead. You played Cincinnati over the weekend. Did you get a chance to talk to him much?
I did. I talked to him before and after the game, before for a little bit. It was great to see him. Great to see him doing well. He's just, you know, a great guy and become a pretty good friend of mine. And anytime, you know, you can see guys like that, it's always neat. A neat thing about continuing on playing is you still get to keep in touch with those guys and see them, you know, every now and then. And I really enjoyed that and wish him nothing but the best. I think he's doing really well up in Cincinnati.
Could you get a sense he felt good about where he was setting right now? A lot of talk about him being a third, possibly fourth running back should the Bengals go that way.
It's tough to kind of get a read on people, especially at this time of the year with, you know, everyone's going from a 90-man roster before this last preseason game, and by Friday they're cutting it down to 53, so that's almost half the team that's gone. And so I don't think that, you know, with the exception of the veteran established guys around the league, that anyone's feeling super comfortable at this point. But, you know, I think he's pleased with what he's done so far and the impressions that he's made. And, you know, knowing Rex, he's done everything that he can to put himself in the best position. So I hope everything works out for him.
Again, just a last minute here with Brett Maher on our Maher Tuesday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Now, I guess the question that we keep asking with kickers, there's only so many places you can go. They want to know what you work on, what you're improving on, and things like that. When you're talking linemen, you can work on blocking technique. You can pass block. You can run block. When you're a receiver, you can learn how to block. When you're a running back, you can learn how to receive the ball. Has there been anything that's changed with you during this whole experience with the Jets, the Cowboys, anything that the special teams coaches are doing with you differently?
Not really. Just going out there and, you know, doing the best that I can, and I'm hitting the ball really well. My leg feels strong, and it just, you know, just got to keep doing on it or keep going on what I'm doing, and, you know, just kind of wait for everything to get sifted through and figure out, you know, what the final destination is going to be. But, you know, that's the thing about being a kicker in this league too, is there's only one on every roster, so there's, you know, 40 or 50 guys fighting for 32 positions, and that makes it a little bit tougher, and it makes it, you know, a little more common for people to go through what I've gone through and kind of bounce around a little bit until they find their niche. So I feel like, you know, I've got what it takes, kind of seeing a few other things and a few other people around this league so far. And, you know, I'm just waiting for the opportunity that's right for me.
We talked about it this spring. You were part of that special kicking competition that they had down there at Cowboys Stadium, which you won earlier this year. Do you think that had anything to do with you getting called in by the Cowboys?
I mean, I don't think anything like that hurts, that's for sure. I don't know if, you know, if that particular thing set me above on their radar or how that ended up playing into it. But, you know, any of those things don't hurt. And, you know, getting good practice film and game film obviously isn't going to hurt me either. So, you know, I don't know if that helped or not, but it's good to be familiar, I guess, with the settings that I'm in right now and, you know, feel more comfortable than most people probably would.
Have you tried to kick one into the scoreboard yet?
No, I have not.
saw that in the preseason game the other night, so getting the Mongo scoreboard kick there. So we'll let you out of here with this, Brett, because Dad's in next. He's our next segment here, and Kearney High's trying to build a new school and all these facilities. You got any advice for, because this will be, I believe, his initial official visit as the Soup to our Doug and Daddy Show. You got any advice for him, any comment?
Oh, I don't have any advice for him. He's the one that usually gives me advice. But I think that's a great thing for the city of Kearney, and I'll kind of, you know, just kind of help him get moving a little bit and, you know, express my support for that situation and for him.
All right, buddy. Well, I'm sure he's going to be smiling from ear to ear. So we hope that you're a Dallas Cowboy, not only for the rest of today, but as we've said, Cowboy fan that I am, would love to see Brett Maher kicking throughout the year for the Dallas Cowboys. So we got our fingers crossed for you, buddy. Thanks for the time.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That's Brett Maher. We got a chance to catch up with him last night. So far, nothing as far as Dallas goes up on the website with their changes for today. And we'll keep an eye and an ear on that. Let's just keep it rolling along on this Maher Tuesday. Well, Dad, what do you think?
Well, that's interesting listening to him. Brett called me yesterday at about 1:30 in the afternoon, and I very seriously thought he was going to tell me what time to pick him up at the airport. Because I really believe that, not because of Brett's abilities, but because of the situation in Dallas, that he's going to get cut. Now, I don't think I'm breaking any confidence in saying I think he's going to make it through Thursday. I think he's going to make it through that final preseason game. I certainly don't know that for sure, and I don't think Brett knows that for sure. But I think he's going to make it through that final game and maybe get some opportunities there. You never know for sure, but I suspect he'll be back and waiting for that next call. And I think that next call will be the one where he really has an opportunity to make a squad and make a difference this fall.
And just kind of one of the things I picked out when we were talking is he thought he might get to see – he's always told us about getting more film out there. And if he gets to get in the game Thursday, that could be the, hey, we brought you into Dallas to help us out. We're going to help you out a little bit by giving you some opportunity Thursday. Where, let's face it, most of that last preseason game, you hardly see any of the starters for any amount of time. It's kind of the last go-round for some of these guys.
I'm hoping it's win-win for the Cowboys and for Brett in that Brett gets an opportunity to kick. The Cowboys get an opportunity to save Dan Bailey and maybe Chris Jones if they would have Brett punt. I don't know. But Dan Bailey's a terrific commodity. He's arguably been the best kicker in the NFL the last 2 years. He's had a terrific two-year run. So, yeah, I don't think they want to take the risk of him getting injured. And hopefully that means opportunities for Brett, to whether those are extra points or field goals or kickoffs. And I think kickoffs probably is what he needs an opportunity to demonstrate he can do as much as anything else right now.
All right, Doug Duda, Dr. Maher, Damon Day with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We hope he doesn't sit on the couch here for too long, but if he does, Damon, it just will be one from Bruce Furniture.
Well played.
I knew you'd like that.
Well played.
Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. Hey, guys and gals, if you've just moved into the dorms at UNK, Hastings College, or Lincoln, or wherever you're going, and you need some furniture to help get things going there in the dorm or your apartment, and you can't pay new price for it, don't worry. Bruce Furniture's Bargain Basement area is where they have consignments, closeout, and clearance items. Fantastic cash and carry items, plus Bruce can pick up your old furniture when you purchase new and even sell the used furniture on consignment for you. Free delivery, old furniture removal. It's there for you, Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. Well, we'll talk a little bit of sports, but obviously, Dr. Maher, there is a big vote coming up here. The city of Kearney, I think everybody knows, needs to do something with the high school. And what I think maybe the contention is what to do. I guess you can agree or disagree with that statement, but big vote coming up on a brand new facility with many new amenities to kind of keep up with Kearney and maybe Class A in the state of Nebraska. And I thought you guys have done a great job with kind of daily topics in the Kearney Hub. You can go to the website, folks, Kearney Public Schools website. You guys have been very open about answering questions. I guess I'll start with what's your feel right now?
That's a great question on the feel. I don't know. A lot of people who would be opposed to it probably aren't going to come up and tell me that, but folks who are in favor of it, I think I'm more inclined to hear from them. So I think what I hear is very favorable, but I think I'm hearing from a select group rather than a representative group. So we'll just keep continuing to go out and talk about the facts around the bond, and we're 2 weeks out, 2 weeks from today, and as a community, we vote. So that's going to be here before we know it.
I got a couple questions. Damon's got kids that are going to be coming up and getting into the Kearney Public School System, so if you want to chime in, just throw stuff at me. But a couple of questions. One is, Kearney is in a unique place for a Class A community with only two high schools. Nowhere down the road, I mean, Hastings, Grand Island, on and on and on, is there probably still nowhere down the road that a splinter school, another school, would be coming out in the high school ranks? I like where we're at personally, but your thoughts on that?
I don't see that in the near future, and that conversation is one that we had in 2009 when we ran our bond issue and we were talking about the high school at that point in time, and then again during the last 6-8 months here we've had that conversation. And while there is some support and actually some emotional support for a second public high school in the community, the overwhelming support is to continue along the lines of the one public high school system that we have right now. When I talk to people about that, some of the time I talk about, you know, school size is something that is a comfort level for a guy like me that grew up in Hooper, Nebraska. You know, Class C is really comfortable, and to move into a Class A environment really was a little bit of a new thing, not only for our kids but for my wife and I as well. You take somebody that maybe has come from the Lincoln area, the Omaha area, or outstate, and maybe they were in a high school with 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 students. And Kearney doesn't seem so big. I tell people that when I talk to my colleagues in Lincoln and Omaha, Kearney is seen as that nice small school right out in central Nebraska. But if I talk to my colleagues in central Nebraska, we're seen as kind of the hub here. So if you grew up in Hooper, or you grew up in Axtell, or you grew up in Pleasanton, Kearney's really pretty darn big. If you grew up in Lincoln or you grew up in Omaha, it's not that big. So that size is really relative. It's a comfort level. We're the 23rd largest school in NSAA, and then in Nebraska School Activities Association, Class A is, depending on the sport, the largest 28 or the largest 32 schools. Currently, we're 23rd. If we would reach the capacity of the new proposed new building, which is 1750, we would jump to 16th. So we still wouldn't be that big in terms of big Nebraska schools. So it's all, those numbers are all relative in terms of what are you comfortable with. To get back to your question, will Kearney ever have two schools, two public high schools? I see that as a futuristic thing and not as a near-term thing.
Kearney continues to grow. There's no doubt about that. I think one thing that everybody will agree with. Reassess this or maybe re-answer this question, because this is what I've brought up maybe from the moment that I moved here. There is land available around the current Kearney High School. Some people think that there should be expansion, and maybe that wipes out the practice field. Maybe that wipes out where the band is. Maybe that wipes out Greeno Field. Maybe that does something with Horizon and all the parking lots. So however you want to address that, why wouldn't that not be feasible to build something new there and still keep a building that you could maybe use for whatever you wanted to use, a storage, some school rooms? Why would that not work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, when we mulled over a lot of potential solutions, we put a community advisory group together, 30 people from various walks of life, ag industry, banking industry, manufacturing, parents, students, UNK, Central Community College, City of Kearney, anyway, folks who looked at that problem through a lot of different lenses. And we asked them we told them what our enrollment issues were and the age of the facilities and condition of the facilities, and then said, if you had a blank check, what would your solutions be? And they started out with 10 solutions, narrowed them down eventually to four good solutions. And one quality solution was, let's take the building we have, let's tear part of it down, rebuild part of it, add on to part of it, and do that right on site. Use the grounds that we have right there. And there were a few reasons as to why that wasn't seen as the best solution. And I would reiterate, that was seen as a good solution. Just wasn't, by this group, seen as the best solution. Some of the reasons were this. The traffic issues that we have in and around that high school right now, we have currently today about 2,100 students between the high school and Horizon Middle School, all coming together, plus all of the employed staff. So we've got a lot of traffic right there. And as we grow over time, we would only add to that traffic congestion. So we thought the circulation of vehicles at that site, while it's problematic right now, the problem would just get worse over time. So that was one issue. Another issue was the estimated time to demolish part of that building, rebuild part of that building, was 4 years. So one of the things that kept coming up was, if you're a freshman, if this bond issue passes and you're a freshman next year, your 4 years of high school, will be a lot of hammers and nails and jackhammers and those sorts of things, and issues that aren't good to the teaching and learning process. So that was part of the issue as well. Another part of the issue was the renovation. And I tell people, when we talk renovation at the current Kearney High School, we're not talking replacing carpet and painting walls. We're talking demolition, reconstruction, systems replacement, heating, ventilation, air conditioning, roofs, those sorts of systems. And by the time we would do all that, there was a $12 million difference between the renovating and the building new. So it wasn't one of those issues, but it was a combination of all of those issues. One other thing that I didn't add was, yeah, if you then get to the capacity of 1750, do you then add on again to Kearney High School? And as you mentioned, you know, you might have to take away some parking lots. You might have to take away some practice space. Well, ultimately, we would have to take away some sort of green space up there. And while it may appear as though there's a lot of green space up there, I invite people to remember we go off campus for a lot of our school activities, for softball, for soccer. We leave our campus for a number of those things. Luckily, we're in a community where we have other great opportunities. We'd like our campus to be more self-sufficient. And I think those are a lot of issues that played into why build new versus renovate.
When you sat down and decided that, okay, our best option is going to be build new, or that's kind of the 30 group, how did you kind of go about finding that? I mean, it's a large, you need a large area to do it. How'd you kind of go about finding that location, and is it and have we for sure narrowed down where the location will be?
That's a great question. I tell people that one of the questions I get, let me backtrack a little bit. Doug, you said earlier I lost my train of thought, so I'll go back to this. The issue on location, one of the questions we get is, why Southwest Kearney? And what we tell people is, really what we did was we put together a set of criteria that we had to have for the land. Criteria one was we wanted at least 80 acres. More would be better, but we wanted at least 80 acres of land. Criteria two was we wanted the land to be accessible. We wanted quality roads there, and we wanted to have conversations with the city about the options for quality roads in addition to those that already exist. And we've had that great working relationship with the city where we built Buffalo Hills, we got roads to it. We built Kenwood, we've got roads all around it. And so we really believe wherever we would build that the city would be a great partner of ours in that. So accessible was the second point. The third point was we wanted the ground that we were looking at to be buildable. And there are really a couple of different things we look at when we're talking about buildable. One thing is, what's the terrain look like? Is it really hilly? Are you going to have to move a lot of dirt? And that's certainly not a deal breaker. But if you do have to move a lot of dirt, yeah, you're in a position where your development costs go up. Also, when I talk about buildable, you talk about water issues. And if you're talking about South Kearney, you wonder about what water issues are there. The parcel of land that we have an option to buy, there are some water issues, but not where we would build. We have the option to buy 128 acres of land. 55 of those acres have no water issues. The groundwater is a minimum of 8.5 feet deep. The floodplain issues do not exist on 55 of those acres. So while you can build in a 100-year floodplain, Paul Eunice has done quite well doing so. The city of Grand Island is in a 100-year floodplain. While we can build in a 100-year floodplain, we wouldn't do that. We might have practice fields, we might have outdoor learning environments, et cetera, but we wouldn't build on any part of that land that is in a floodplain. And we've done our due diligence there with engineering firms on trying to determine where the floodplains exist and where they don't exist. So we're in good shape that way. So five criteria. The fourth one was we wanted city services to the site. Again, we can get them to the site if they're not there, but it costs us to do so. But thanks to the Buckle and a lot of other development in Southwest Kearney, city services come right to that site. So that's a good thing. And then the fifth thing was we needed to have a willing seller. That's five criteria. I can tell you I could cross out criteria 2, 3, and 4, and I have a very limited pool of opportunities if I just look for at least 80 acres of land on the perimeter of the community and somebody that's willing to sell it. And you would think that there are a lot more opportunities than what you have available to do that. We entered into 5 conversations with 5 different landowners. Not all of those conversations got to the point of negotiations, but a couple did. And in the end, based on the criteria that I talked about, based on the available options to us, we thought the best spot for that land is at 30th Avenue and 11th Street in Southwest Kearney. To answer your second question, is that for sure where it will be? Right now we have an option to buy that land. We could walk away from that option if a better opportunity exists, but we're getting very late in the game to be talking about another option on land right now.
Just another minute here, because we could talk for the whole hour with Dr. Brian Maher, superintendent of Kearney Public Schools, about the bond issue that's coming up in 2 weeks. This is Sports Show. You touched on a little bit ago. If I read this right, there's going to be a couple of things to vote on. One includes the swimming pool. Will there be a track? Will there be a pool? Will there be a football field? Will there be a baseball field? And how has all that come into the vote? What about what will be new and expanded? Because as you talked about, you go off-site quite a bit. And I understand that you still want to play at Foster Field for football, but outside of that, to kind of let everybody know what you would like to build there.
I got 1 minute.
Two.
First of all, let me address the football field. What we would do at the new site would be to replicate Greeno Field that exists at Kearney High School and Horizon Middle School right now. So we would have a track, we would have a field turf field, and we would continue to play all of our non-varsity football games there. We would continue to have track and field practice and home meets there. We would continue to have that open to the public as well. We wouldn't build a Friday night stadium or a varsity football stadium, at least at this point, because we're in year 9 of a 20-year agreement with UNK that allows our kids on Friday night to go and play at Cope Stadium, which is a phenomenal experience for our kids. And I hope at the end of 20 years we can roll that over. But that's a great option for us. So we would essentially start out the new facility with 2 grass practice fields and a Greeno type track and football field. Ultimately, we would like to get options to at least practice soccer right there on that site. We don't have that option currently. Ultimately, we'd like to have tennis courts on that site. We don't have that currently. Ultimately, we would like to have a softball field there. We've talked to the city about that, and the city is in real need of a baseball softball complex. And we've got a lot of land. If we stay at that site, we would love to partner with the city in building a baseball softball complex. Issue number one, we could stay home and practice softball, let alone play games right on our campus. Issue number two, we're one of only 2 Class A schools in the state of Nebraska that doesn't have baseball. I would guess Kearney High School at some point in time in the future will have baseball. I'm not making any predictions on when, but I would guess, and I tell people this, in 1960 when we moved into the current Kearney High School, they had a vision for the future there. I'll bet that vision did not include boys and girls soccer. Yeah. So what things might we have in the future that we don't have today? I don't really know, but we would have enough land there to be somewhat futuristic in what can go on that site. I haven't hit the pool yet, but I'd love to later.
Yeah, and the pool is yay or nay? Am I right on that?
The pool is a separate vote.
Yeah.
The pool would be a competition pool. It would allow our PE programs to have a pool facility. It would really improve the opportunities for our boys and girls swim team. Currently, we use UNK, and maybe Coach Day can tell us how long that facility is going to be open there. We think it's on life support, but that's the public school system talking, not UNK talking, and we think it would be good for our kids. The other thing we think we could do if we have that pool is work with the city of Kearney and try to figure out a way for that to have a community purpose outside of school hours, as well as being open for us during the day for school use.
All right, Dr. Maher, we appreciate you coming in and answering some questions. I know there's a lot out there, and again, go to the Kearney Public Schools website, keep up to date what's going on, the Kearney Hub. That's pretty cool what you guys are doing there as well. Anything else before we let you roll?
No, that's it. I really appreciate it. And I thought I was going to get a chance to talk about the 85 Royals here. I'm a little disappointed in that.
Our Denny Matthews bobblehead needs a new battery.
Put Denny Treese next to him, and I'm back in my heyday.
We will take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. We got a lot more adult hockey, Troutman's Tuesday trivia, also high school football with Silver Lake, the number one team in six man, and a lot more coming up.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino. You can call it plain Kino. My point is this. We aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different. The menu is different. Atmosphere is different. Everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
I'm a jam-packed football parking lot. Every time fans swing their car doors open, I get to hear my favorite sound. So get Allstate, where agents help keep you protected from mayhem. Like me.
Call a local agent or 888-ALLSTATE. Feature is optional, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Get more for your money with a safe driving bonus check from Allstate. Stay accident-free and Allstate will send you a check every 6 months. Are you in good hands?
Purolator oil filters were invented in the USA. So when you change your oil with Purolator, it's as American as cowboys. Actually, it's more American than cowboys. Cowboys originated in Spain. So they sat around the campfire eating paella, not beans out of a can. Sounds kind of nice, but still not invented in America. Purolator oil filters were invented in America 90 years ago, and we've been trusted by professionals and do-it-yourselfers ever since. Purolator, keep it pure. Available at Advance Auto Parts, Pep Boys, Meyer, and other.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100%, and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. We're rolling along. Randy May is in studio with myself, Doug Duda, and Damon Day. And Randy, thanks for hanging around a little extra. We had him scheduled a few minutes ago, but thanks for coming in. We're going to talk Tri-City Adult Hockey League, which I know a couple people that play in the league or have played in the league, and you hear about the Junior Hockey League, and of course, everything is contingent with the storm, but we'll get into all that. First off, thanks for coming into the Doug and Daddy Show, and thanks for bringing some coolness to this 100-degree heat.
Yeah, I really can't take a lot of credit for that, but yeah, it was nice being out at the arena last night.
You guys are just getting underway. First off, for the folks out there, explain what the Tri-City Hockey League is, because you guys have basically been around as long as the storm has.
Yeah, we really incepted the same year that the storm came in. What we are is a group of adult players, all skill levels. We've got Hockey 101, which is a beginner level. The normal league is a various skill level. We've got people all the way that have played hockey all their life to a lot of people like myself that, local Kearney resident, never had a chance to play until I was 35. So we've got everybody in between.
You ever skated, Damon?
No.
And I skate, no. Roller skate, yes. Hockey, I'm still learning the rules out there. When this first got started, or maybe the spot that it really kind of spiked took off for you, because I still have a hard time wrapping my brain around somebody that's never played hockey that is interested. And it sounds like this league will help you get going.
Yeah, it all started with a storm. I mean, that's when it all kicked off, was when the storm came. There was a lot of excitement, and adults just saw what the kids were doing, and it's just fun. It's just a chance for an hour or so to just go out there and be a kid for a while.
Let's start, and we'll probably come back to this. Okay. How do people, if they're interested and they're new or they're new to town, okay, how do they get involved? Who do they contact? What do they need to do?
The easiest way is just contact our website, www.tcadulthockey.com. The arena staff, storm staff, are excellent also. If you contact the arena at all, we get a lot of our experienced players from that. they've been taught that when they show up to a new city, when they move in, go to the arena, get a hold of us, and the arena has always been done a really good job of getting a hold of us.
How do you guys get your teams together? How do you practice? How much competition is there?
It's a pretty low grade competition. It's it's person to person. You know how it is with guys. But it's how you get involved is you just we register the players, we evaluate the players by skill level, then we go ahead and we do a draft, and that's coming up tomorrow night. And in the draft, we really work for parity, because that's, over the years, we found that's what people want, is they like to have a chance every night to go out there. It's not about all winning, but, come on, we're guys. And the ladies that play are three times more competitive than any of the guys, so.
So, again, open to guys and gals. Jessica, maybe?
Okay. No.
No? No chance?
No chance.
No? She's going to stay home, take care of you?
Yeah, I wouldn't even know where to begin to try to play hockey.
So let me get this right. Each team would have what we'd call the A player and the B player. It's not like, okay, this team has all the new guys, this guy has all team has all the experienced guys. You mesh them together.
Yeah, correct, because that's what we wanted to, some cities, they do it where you kind of get to set your own team, and we just want to make it competitive, and every year we have a new draft, so the people get on new teams, they get to meet new people, and it's worked out really well over the years.
We're talking with Randy May, Tri-City Adult Hockey League, just getting underway for this season this weekend. When are the practices? When are the games? How much time commitment does this take?
Practices, we really don't get much. We have drop-ins that you can join up to, and that's just kind of a close thing we have to practice. But really, the time commitment's minimal. It's at worst a couple hours a week. We play generally on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Most teams only play one or the other that week, and we got a 30-game season, so we'd go right around till end of March, early April, depending on the schedule.
Does any of the teams compete outside, or is this just a local deal? Do any of the guys get together and go to Omaha or Lincoln or out of state?
That's when it gets fun. We do put together some travel teams, just kind of tournament teams. They're nothing the league really puts together, just usually a group of players, but we send them down there. But, yeah, we played against Omaha and Lincoln. Lincoln is Lincoln. All I can say about Lincoln is no matter what type of hockey, if it's adult or stars, it's pretty rough.
How long does the season last?
It'll end right around the end of March, early April, depending on sometimes we got to give way to some events out to the arena. But generally, we end middle to end of March.
And I guess equipment. If you're a new guy, you're not going to have equipment. Do you guys provide equipment? Does everybody have their own personal? Explain that.
What we do is Hockey 101 is kind of our start off. That's on Monday nights at 8:30, and that's where somebody brand new that wants to learn from the ground up comes to. And we do have rental equipment. The first time they come up, we do equip them for free just to give them a shot out there, let them borrow the equipment for the night. And then if they decide to carry on, we help them find equipment. The pro shop right there at the arena is a great source. We do a lot of equipping through there. But also, we beg, borrow, and steal to get some people on the ice before and just to get them out there. And if they get committed to it, we're committed to them.
Randy, without naming names, can you give me a ballpark figure on the age differential, how old you got to be, and you got anybody that's out there a little over the top?
Yeah, the only requirement we've got is you got to be 18 years old. That's just for liability and stuff like that. And we've got people that, few walkers in the tunnel, not really, but definitely in the 50s and stuff. And yeah, with everything else, you've got a few hot dogs, but they play well with others, and it all works out great. But yeah, the beginner players have a blast. Everybody's involved when they play, and we make it fun for everybody.
Folks, just the last minute here with Randy May, Tri-City Adult Hockey League. For more information, go to their website, tcadulthockey.com. They're getting their league underway. They'll take you. They've got over 100 members. This has been around for 13 years, as long
Correct.
As the storm continues to increase. If somebody just wants to come out and watch so that they can understand, then maybe say, okay, I can go ahead and jump into this. How can they come out and watch you?
Basically, they go to the website. They're going to see the schedule of games. Again, it's commonly on Sunday nights, basically after 6, Wednesday nights around 8 o'clock. So, yeah, if they come out and watch, they can see. That's where a lot of people gain hope. They come out and they see that they could play. That's how it happened for me.
Randy, anything else that folks need to know?
Just, if you're going to play in the regular league, we really need you to get registered online by tomorrow. 7 o'clock Wednesday is our draft, and 8:30 on Hockey 101's every Monday night.
That's a big reminder for the guys that have played for quite a few years, or the returners for 2013 and 14. Now, Randy, we'll let you get out of here. Sure appreciate you. Thanks for putting up with our going overtime here in the first half hour. But let us know if there's anything we can do. Looks like it'll be fun. And with you got over 100 members, there's a very few organizations in town that can boast that kind of a membership. So
we'll work on getting you guys out there.
I think we can get you out there, man. We'll film it. It'll be something we can do for the website.
No.
Come on.
No chance.
Well, I can run the camera.
No.
We'll get you the big Doughberry equipment so you can't get hurt.
Yeah. They got like the – it's not – they don't call it a walker, do they?
Well, no, not in front of them. No, no. we don't call it that in front of them.
That's all I need.
Skating aid.
Yeah.
Hey, if Frank Solich can ride a tricycle, you can go out and ice skate.
I don't think I could. Well, I literally do not think I could even stand upright.
How long did it take you to – did you know how to ice skate before hockey,
no,
Randy?
No, not at all. I'd never touched ice until I was 35 years old.
How long did it take you to learn until you were comfortable?
Really, maybe a month and a half.
I can't even walk on wet cement sometimes.
You got to do something when golf season's over.
Just get ready for golf season the next year.
Randy, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate learning a little bit more about the Tri-City Adult Hockey League.
All right, thank you, guys.
We'll take a break. Be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show. Talk a little high school football after this.
Do you ever just want to escape ordinary? You know what I'm talking about, with the wife always on your tail, the kids running around like a bunch of wild turkeys, the same old routine day in and day out. When you're ready to escape ordinary, just head over to Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's the best place to hang out with your buds, have a great bite to eat, and an ice cold beer while you watch all your favorite sports. When it's time to escape ordinary, head over to Cunningham's Journal, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
College football is back in full stride, which means the Dr. Pepper tuition giveaway is back again to change the lives of deserving students around the country. Like our 2012 SEC winner, Garrett Booker, who overcame adversity by joining the Boy Scouts and working hard to become an Eagle Scout. Garrett is using the $100,000 tuition money to fulfill his dream of making a difference in the world. What do you want to do to change the world? Go to drpeppertuition.com and tell us your story. No purchase necessary. For a chance to compete to win up to $100,000 in tuition, head to drpeppertuition.com. Must be 18 to 24 to compete. Ends December 13th, 2013. Dr. Pepper, always one of a kind.
I'm Rachel Parrish, Navy Federal Credit Union member, and this garbage disposal is the bane of my existence. But I'm buying a new house. I got a great rate at Navy Federal. I move in next week. The disposal there, brand new. I checked.
4 million members, 4 million stories. Open to everyone in the armed forces, the DOD, and their families. Navy Federal Credit Union. Visit NavyFederal.org to apply. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by...
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
With sunshine across the area through the day today, we'll head up to 99 for a high. Southwest winds will stay at 5 to 15. With clear skies and a light southwest wind tonight, we'll head back to 69 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 82.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. We talked about it all summer, Damon. They've drawn the winner for the Husker season tickets at the Midway Auto Dealerships. Congratulations. Not you. Sorry.
I didn't think so.
Congratulations to Sarah Wall. Sarah Wall is the winner of the Nebraska season tickets starting this Saturday with Wyoming. 8 games, all part of the Midway Auto Dealership's commitment to taking care of all their customers. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. And you can see the entire inventory and check out their specials online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way, where right now they have over 100 2014 vehicles in stock. Some begin at under $16,000. They've also got great deals on 2013 Rams and Silverados. You can save up to $8,800 off the Ram, maybe $11,000 on some of the Silverados. Stop in and see them today. The Midway Auto Dealerships congratulating their Husker season ticket winner, Sarah Wall. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Well, let's talk our high school football preview here, and we go down to the six-man ranks, where I love watching some six-man football. And for Silver Lake, they are the consensus preseason number one selection. They will open their season this Friday, taking on Arcadia, who is in the top five of at least one poll. Dwayne Arndt is the head coach of the Mustangs, and he joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, thanks for the time. How are the boys doing?
Well, right now the boys seem to be doing pretty well. With the heat and everything, they're working hard and getting through it, and we're just trying to make sure everybody's in good shape.
Well, let's ask you one key question here. When you get down to this level, it's always about how many kids do you even have that could go out? How many kids are out on the team this year?
We've got 16 out this year, which has kind of surprised us. We've got some kids that came out that haven't been out before, and we've got some kids out that were out before and then didn't come out before.
Coach, as you look over your schedule, obviously you open up with Arcadia. As Doug said, they're getting some votes right now. Who are you guys kind of looking at your schedule this year to kind of be some people that you have to beat?
We start off with Arcadia, and they're the number one on our list right now. They've got a lot of kids back from last year, and they really had some good athletes and some team speed. So they're actually looking at our schedule right now, the top one to get started with right away.
There are 13 teams. Did we hang at 13, Dwayne? We got 13 six-man teams. Is that right?
I think that's correct.
Silver Lake is number one. Some of the other schools, to go to your point there, Damon, Sioux County, and we'll talk about them, Cody, Kilgore, Elkhorn Valley, Arthur County. A little familiar with Sioux County, aren't we, Coach?
Yeah, we are. Played them in the semifinals last year, and it was a really nice, hard-hitting game. It was fairly close through the whole thing, and I know they lost their backfield, but I understand that they got their entire line back, and I know Coach Swisher up there will have them ready to play and do a good job this year.
Coach, you return first-team All-State quarterback Junior Siler Monroe. What does he bring to your football team?
Siler's really going to bring a lot to our team this year. Last year, through the first half of the season, it was kind of a learning experience, and Siler's really kind of grown up physically. I think he grew 3 inches from last year and put some weight on, and he's got an understanding of the quarterback position in six-man now, of when to run, when to throw. So I think he's going to be a formidable threat to our opponents.
Talk about some of the other kids you got coming back. Dwayne Arndt is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, because you do have, and in six-man, if you just got a couple kids coming back, that's good with experience, but you have quite a few.
I do. We've got an All-State running back in Journey Erickson. I think he rushed for close to 1,400 yards last year. He's going to be our workhorse in the backfield. We replaced a fullback. We've got a sophomore, Quentin Journey, who's going to be a big kid, understands the game, a very smart kid. He's going to help us out a lot. Our center from last year, Austin Woodard, was a second-team All-State selection. Big kid right in the middle, likes to block people, knock people around. We have to replace both of our ends, but we've got kids from last year that played right behind our number ones and understand what they need to do and are playing hard right now.
Talking with Dwayne Arndt here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We kind of discussed this during the break here. You guys made the transformation, I guess, from eight to six man. And just a couple of years ago, the numbers weren't there. It affected your record. You guys dropped down to six man and you get off to such a good start. This second year, the kids pretty much know the differences in the six and the eight man game. Are you more comfortable going into camp and what you've seen so far?
Well, from that aspect, yeah, we're a lot more comfortable coming into to this year. I know last year, our first game up at Arcadia, we coaches and I sit here and talk, laugh kind of this year about we didn't have a clue what we were doing in that first game, so it was kind of a quick education for us. But going through the year and having success like we did last year has helped us, and it's also helped the confidence in our kids, and all our kids are usually fairly small, you know, they're not great big huge kids, but they're quick and they're perfect for the six-man game.
Just another minute here with Silver Lake coach Dwayne Arndt as they start the season this Friday with Arcadia. Coach, one thing about six-man, with only 13 schools, they're fairly well spread out across the state. I've always said six-man, is it's more than about playing a football game. Sometimes you got a whole day off of school and you're traveling across the state, and it's kind of a learning experience. Have you kind of found that out already?
We found that out last year. We had to go up to Walt Hill, which was about a 205-mile trip. We left at, 8:30 in the morning for a 3 o'clock game. This year we get to go up to Santee, which is about the same distance. We had to take a trip out to Sioux County last year for the playoffs, and that was actually, we spent the night in Sydney and went on up. This year we get to go to Maywood. It really is. And the kids, they understand that when we're on the road that there's certain behaviors that they have to have. And it's been really nice because I think I got a great group of well-mannered kids.
And you've got a good schedule. There's always maybe some things that go along with – I know you guys, when Santee came down last year, you threw a barbecue or whatever it was. There's some festival or festivities that go along with the football. I don't have the kickoff times in front of me, Dwayne. Will all your games be in the afternoon, or is it a mixture of home and away, depending on when you play?
It's a mixture of home and away. Our first game here with Arcadia is a 7 o'clock at night start. And then I think we go up to St. Ed, it's a 7 o'clock. When we go up to Elkhorn Valley, it's a 3:30 start. Walt Hill and Santee are both 3 o'clock starts. And then I think Maywood and Juanita are both back to 7 o'clock starts at night.
Juanita is the defending champion. But they're not in the top five. They've kind of lost a lot of kids, haven't they?
They lost a lot of kids. I had the fortunate experience to assist in coaching Coach Geyer and Coach Frex out in Wyoming this summer with our all-star team, and we had some discussions, and they lost a huge portion. They had a great group of seniors that really carried the load for them. But, you know, I've got confidence. Coach Geyer and Frex, they'll have those kids going by the middle of the season.
Well, I saw some of those photos out there in Wyoming. It looks like you guys had a pretty good time. I just hope you didn't listen to too much of what Coach Geyer had to say. I know him too well to, you know, I'll take your expertise.
I've known him for a while, too, so I understand his philosophy and when he talks. Yeah, we did have a good time. It was great scenery and a great time for all the kids.
Well, as I've said, if you've never had a chance to watch a six-man game, and especially if you've got a school that you support and they play at home, go watch one of these 3 o'clock games, see what the six-man game's about, because it's pretty fun. You can't load up with 250-pound guys, can you, Dwayne? You got to have a little speed out there.
You've got to have a lot of speed out there, and you better have people on defense that can tackle in the open field.
Well, Coach, we'll let you get back to your day. Appreciate the time. Best of luck this season. Hopefully we can chat again.
Well, thank you.
Take care. Dwayne Arndt joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug, due to Damon Day. I'm telling you, man, it's worth it. You got to take Bubba to six, man.
I'm interested.
He might get lost. He might get away from you. Get out there on the field.
They might need him.
They can throw to
couple injuries.
They can throw to the center. One of the best things about six man, center eligible.
What other states play six man?
Oh boy, I used to know all this. I mean, that's one of the reasons they went out to Wyoming. See, someplace South Dakota has like nine man.
There's other places where they kind of.
Yeah, I think Kansas still has six man. Texas has six man football.
Okay.
So even in the state of Texas, six man football out there. Our Midtown Bar Cooler question, right now dealing with your NFL selections, Mr. Damon Day. Which team will win the AFC West? Maybe that's a little simple. 76% took the Broncos. You taking the Broncos, or are you going to go with the Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders?
I would take the Broncos versus the field.
Today we go with the NFC West. A lot of people love the Seahawks, the 49ers, and we're in the Super Bowl. You've got the improved Rams and the Cardinals, who kind of started so hot last year. Who you got in the NFC West?
I got the 49ers over the Seahawks, just based upon head coaches.
I just think the Seahawks are set up for just an off year. Not because they're bad. Not because they're bad. Not because of Pete Carroll. I just think it's one of those things where
Stars aligned for them. It seemed like they kind of got that stars aligned for them. They made a run, and now they're getting overhyped. And Wilson had a decent enough year. And I know that people are, he was awesome. He had a good year. But they didn't ask him to do a lot of things, and they kind of got some help with the schedule makers. And so I'll be very interested to see them. I definitely don't think that Pete Carroll has the chops to take that team to the next level, whereas I think Jim Harbaugh is one of the best coaches in the NFL.
I'm going to take the 49ers, but my one of my predictions is that I think the Rams have a very good chance of finishing second in that division with another year with Jeff Fisher and just kind of getting everything solidified there, and, of course, Mason Brodine. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia will wrap up our program right after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Did summer come to an end along with your wish to lose weight? Did procrastinating get the better of you? The good news is, it's never too late to get started. For a limited time at Complete Nutrition, come in and save 30% on all our weight loss kits. Our weight loss kits have helped thousands of people lose anywhere from 10 pounds to over 100 pounds. Save 30% on our number one sellers like CTS 360, ManCore, Charger, and Refirm. Come into a Complete Nutrition store today and start losing weight now. We offer diet and exercise plans along with a promise that we'll do everything we can to help you reach your goals. You don't have to go at it alone. You do have to want it, because it all starts with you. With 30% off on all our weight loss kits, today is the time to come into Complete Nutrition and get started.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Progressive presents Flo's newest jam. Bundling will make you feel like the mayor of Savingsville.
Bundle your home and auto together, and you'll feel like the mayor of Savingsville. Yes, you will. A town famous for the world's biggest puppy.
Bundle your home and auto together and save. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Home insurance underwritten by Homesite Group, Boston Mass, and other non-affiliated companies. Available in most states.
Membership streamlines business expenses.
At WiggleWorks, we help build animatronics for theme parks around the country. When we're on the road, we rack up a ton of expenses, but we're never weighed down with receipts.
Introducing Receipt Match on business cards from American Express Open. Just shoot your receipts with your smartphone, and they're matched up with your charges on your online statement.
I'm John Kaplan, and I'm a member of A Synchronized World.
This is what membership is. This is what membership does. Learn more at open.com. Terms and limitations.
Doug and Daddy Show with Damon Day, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. How's classes going up there, man?
I don't know. I had to have a substitute teacher on my first day of school.
Uh-oh.
I taught class today.
Uh-oh. Illness?
No, I had to go to the doctor.
Oh, no.
My wife jammed her thumb into her eye on accident.
Everything okay?
Yeah. Just scratched up her eye and cornea and normally all that good stuff.
Normally there'd be a joke following here, but no, we don't want that.
Just honest, forthright reporting.
We don't want that.
She's probably mortified that I even mentioned it, but no, she scratched her eye, so we had to go to the doctor.
Well, it's all over Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah. So
Exactly. I'm not spilling any beans here.
Don't forget you can Facebook us, you can tweet us, you can email us at any time. It's time now for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Give us a call, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. We wrap up our Tuesday show with Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. If you've not won the last 2 months, you're eligible, and the winner gets a $25 gift card to Troutman's to get steak, snack sticks, prime rib, bacon, whatever you want for those BLTs. They're so, so good. Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Ryan.
Ryan, do you want high school football or college football?
Oh, let's do high school.
High school. Who won the first ever state football championship game at Memorial Stadium? And I will give you a clue. It was a six-man game. We just talked to Dwayne Art at Silver Lake. So who won the first six-man state championship game ever played at Memorial Stadium?
Stewart?
It was not Stewart. I like the guess. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming your way. And let's stay with it. Who are we chatting with?
Hey, this is Mark. How's it going, Douglas?
It's going good. You want high school or you want college?
Let's go high school.
Who won the first six-man state championship game at Memorial Stadium?
Arcadia?
It was not Arcadia. I can't even give any hints here. No, it was not Arcadia. Almost said something. Let's keep it with Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Kent.
Kent, you want high school or college football?
Oh, let's try that six-man deal.
Okay, who you got?
Walt Hill.
Not Walt Hill. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. I'd like to say that the last two guessers were in the ballpark, but it would be for two totally different reasons. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Sean.
Sean, you want high school or college football?
I'll try the six, man.
Who you got?
Hildreth.
Not Hildreth. That's a great guess, by the way. It was not Hildreth. Now, this is the first six-man championship game played at Memorial Stadium. Okay, so just to reiterate, that's our question on the high school side. Who are we chatting with?
This is John.
John, you want the high school or you want the college?
Let's go college.
Okay. Nebraska has the longest winning streak of opening games. Okay, you get what I'm saying? So, like, Wyoming's the opening game. Who's got the second longest winning streak?
That would be Florida at 23.
See, he got cocky. It's not 23, is it, Jeff? Oh, it is. God, he knew that. John's the winner. See, that was Jeff's question, by the way. And now I'm blaming Jeff. Do you have a guess on the six man?
Six man, I'd have to say maybe a wall back.
That was right. That was right. Now that's the cock of the walk right there. You don't get 50, but yeah, that's the cock of the walk right there.
I knew the ask for 50 was coming.
We may have to throw something in though. We're gonna find something to throw it in here. Maybe a T-shirt, a Chattel book, something. That's good. That's good.
I'll ask you a question, Doug. Of course, you'll have the right answer anyway.
Okay.
Okay. If Nebraska has top in the home opening winning deal, who's number three?
Oh, you mean behind Florida?
Behind Florida.
Let's see. And I don't have any computers ahead of me. Southern Cal?
Southern Cal, I think, is fourth or fifth.
Wisconsin?
Wisconsin is third, yes.
Wisconsin. Oh.
At 15.
Jeff, help me. I won't lie. Jeff, help me, Jonathan. Hey, hang on the line. We'll get you the information and get you taken care of. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
By the way, Damon, here's one I want to throw at you as a coach before we get out of here, and we're way over time. And I want to remind folks, tomorrow, first Husker lunch in Grand Island, at the Plottage, Sean Callahan. We have got I thought we were busy today. It's going to be even more crazy tomorrow. Headlined by Dave Christensen, head football coach at Wyoming. Scheduled to join us at 11:40 tomorrow. Bob Jensen will join us as well. Get more into that. Zach Darlington is a huge Nebraska commit. Kind of the next quarterback deal. One of the top in the country at the high school level. He goes down. He's nationally televised game on ESPNU Saturday morning. Goes down with a concussion. And I guess a bad concussion. You know, concussions, you know, you get up the next day. And it's bad enough that his family has to issue a statement, and they're thanking everybody for their prayers, their texts, their emails. And the young man, they don't know, will he come back and play this year? Will he ever get to play again? They got some big-time doctors looking at it because this is his second kind of major concussion, second concussion in 3 months. Coach Pelini and his father, Richard Darlington, who issued the statement, according to the statement, have talked. And Coach Pelini says, doesn't matter what happened, his scholarship offer is still good. And here in this, it says that type of integrity and loyalty is why Zach chose Nebraska as his college destination. We are very thankful to Coach Pelini and his staff for their support of my son, not just as a football player, but as a young man. Now, Coach Pelini won't be able to comment on this publicly because the young man hasn't signed with the school yet, and that would be an NCAA violation. But that's ballsy in this day and age because you could yank the kid's scholarship. I mean, this is something that's going to have to count, but that also shows a lot of integrity, doesn't it?
Oh, I think it shows a tremendous amount of integrity, and I've also heard from the chat boards and everything else of how, you know, we only got 85 scholarship. How's he going?
Good God.
But you got to understand, they have the ability. He can get a scholarship through managers, through graduate assistantships, through student. I mean, there's a multitude of ways. So the whole 85, and that's all we have, it's not going to take away from the Huskers' abilities to land another recruit. And that was the one that I kind of had heard was, well, what are we going to do if he can't? Well, you know what? We'll worry about that down the road. But I think that it just goes to show you that Coach Pelini is obviously a stand-up guy. The Huskers are a stand-up guy. And I think that it also goes to show you how overblown everything is. My question is, is there a family release statement if it's not on national television? I mean, that's my question is, I mean, because, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, you got to be a pretty diehard Husker fan to even know who the kid is. I mean, even just the some of the marginal ones that I know that they consider themselves diehard, they had no idea what I was talking about when I said, hey, did you see what happened to the Nebraska signee? You know, I just think it's, again, it's that overpopulation or that over, you know, I don't even know what the word is on it. You know, it's overblown again. It was on ESPN. It happened on ESPN. And so here we go again. Let's just bang the drum and beat this whole thing to the point where his dad has to come out and say something type of thing. So I just think it's just another, you know, it's just another overblown ESPN. Look at me. I always say this is, the whole high school football games this weekend, if it does not happen on ESPN on Saturday afternoon, there's probably no need for a statement, and it's something to where it's not even an issue.
Yeah, hardly anybody knows about it, except it would be a concussion. Oh, okay.
Right. Right. And you know what the scary thing is the first concussion sounds like it was a non-contact concussion, and now the third one, the second one in less than 3 weeks or whatever, you know, you start to worry about the ramifications and all those types of things, and it's just scary. I mean, that I go back to the UCL injury of Matt Harvey. Everyone's freaking out about it. You know, everyone's like, "Oh my God, this and that and the other thing." I was like, "That's how the world has changed. You have things that people can do from a physical standpoint that the body was not built to be able to do." You look at it in football with all the ACL injuries and all the hamstrings popping. And, I mean, we are getting guys that are so big, so strong, so fast that their bodies just can't handle that type of a force on their bodies. And that's why you're seeing athletes break down so much more now is because they are bigger, they are faster, they are stronger, and your body just can't hold up. I always love the story of Billy Wagner. Remember, 5'9" closer for the Houston Astros. Blew out his arm two or three times. Mike Hampton had the huge run with the Houston Astros and then went and blew out his arm with the Rockies type of thing. You put a 5'10 frame trying to throw 95 miles an hour, those levers aren't very long. You know, that's just not a long lever to throw with. And so now you're putting all that torque on their shoulder muscles and on their UCL joints and all those types of things. And the body is just – we've come so far in strength and conditioning and building up the body, but we can only do so much to strengthen our tendons, to strengthen our muscle joints. When you lift weights, you're not really strengthening those areas. So you have all this muscle with all these very finite pieces that the body just cannot hold up. And I think that's why you're seeing guys injured and injured more and more. And you're going to start seeing, I think the biggest thing that you're going to see in this whole thing is you're going to really start seeing that NFL career. You're going to start seeing guys who beyond the quarterbacks with, wow, this guy's a seven-year guy. Holy cow. You know, you're starting to see it with linebackers. Look at Harrison. James Harrison for the Bengals is 3 years removed from being the NFL Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And now he's barely fighting to hold on to a job because his skills have diminished so much, and he's just gotten the tar beat out of him. I mean, so I think that the game is changing as these athletes get bigger, stronger, faster. The ability to hold up is going to be a huge thing moving forward.
Well, it is definitely something we have to keep an eye on and put up with as
I hope for the young man's sake he's okay.
Oh, well, yeah getting back to Zach Darlington, God, yes. College football season starts Thursday. I suppose you're ready.
Yes. Who's playing?
North Carolina, South Carolina, the first game of the year of any significance.
Oh, great.
USC, Hawaii that night.
All we get to hear about is Javon Clowney, who's good. He's good. But that's all we're going to get to hear about for the next 3 days.
Oh, how great is this? Kevin Sumlin has just finished up another press conference. Evidently, he couldn't talk about A&M because the campus university president said don't comment on him. Good Lord. Anyway, we want to thank all the folks that joined us today, the Maher family, Dr. Brian Maher, Superintendent of Kearney Public Schools, for chatting about the upcoming school bond vote in 2 weeks. His son and current Dallas Cowboy kicker, Brett Maher. Hopefully we can say that for the rest of the season. Dwayne Arndt, the head football coach at Silver Lake. Randy May with the Tri-City Adult Hockey League. Tomorrow, our Loper Link, we preview soccer with John Mazner. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. Dan Christensen, Wyoming head football coach. Our high school preview with Charlie Shoemaker at Central Catholic. Plus Sean Callahan live from the Plottage in Grand Island for our first Husker Lunch. Folks, enjoy it. Damon, thanks for spending time with us again today.
Thank you, buddy.
See you tomorrow, folks.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.